Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In Romans chapter number 6, and let's all stand for the reading of God's Word, and you listen carefully. I just want to try to challenge us tonight, try to just make us think a little bit. That's what I like to do sometimes. I just like preaching that tries to make me think, and that's really what I want to do tonight. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 12. The Bible said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead." Your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. "For sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." I love those words. Verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. When ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I love you tonight, and I thank you, God, for being good. Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, I've got to have you touched, and I've got to have the unction that makes preaching preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd just hide me behind the cross and empty me of myself and cleanse me of sin. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I don't want to do this alone. Lord, I ask you for your power. In your precious and holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Just to be honest with you, those are some pretty deep verses I just read. And I love Romans chapter number 6, and I love reading the Bible, don't you? You know, I like it. You know, I'm just telling you, this book's alive. Y'all know that? And, man, I tell you, there's sometimes, most of the time, not all the time, but, man, a lot of times when I sit down to read the Bible, there's usually about one or two verses that'll just jump off the page at you. I was reading Romans chapter 6 not long ago, and verse number 22 did that to me. The Bible said in verse number 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God." In our human minds, it's really pretty hard to understand that. Because you listen to the words of what Paul's saying. Being made free to become a servant. That don't make good sense, does it? We are becoming free so we can become a servant. Now, I was thinking about that. You know, really and truly, that's about two opposite things that Paul's trying to make a comparison of there. You know what that is in our modern day language? That's called an oxymoron. Y'all know what oxymorons are? I love oxymorons. They're awesome. We used to travel all the time going down the road with Dad preaching when I was a teenager. We'd just try to come up with all the oxymorons we could think of going down the road. Y'all ever done that? Okay, so we're the only weird family in the house tonight. Okay, good. Like, let me give you an example. Icy hot. That's an oxymoron. That's two different things. That don't make sense. Freezer burn. Well, there's some more. Awfully good. That's some awfully good singing. That don't make sense, y'all, but it does. I don't need to hear that. That's old news. Y'all get that one? Y'all get, you might want to wake up for that one. That's old news. That don't make good sense. I've known some people, well, I shouldn't say that. That pretty ugly's one of them. That's an oxymoron. Organized chaos, the story of our life, man. That's an oxymoron. And I know what you're thinking. Is this dude really standing up here preaching us about oxymorons? Well, I have been. What in the world's he doing? I'm trying to get your mind wrapped around that concept of taking two opposite things and bringing them together. You say, why? Because that's how it works with the Lord. You say, preacher, I just don't know. Well, let me just show you. We are to be a living sacrifice.
Yes, yes, sir.
That don't make good sense. Let's just be honest. To get full of God, you know what you got to do? You got to empty yourself. The way up with God, you know what it is? It's down. To be exalted, you got to be made low. To be exalted, you got to find some humility. To live is to die. To receive is to give. Don't make good sense, does it? You know, there's strength and weakness. The way to victory is through surrender. I want you to think about that for a second. The way to victory is through surrender. When you start to understand that principle and that concept, you might get a hold a little bit of what Paul's is saying here in Romans chapter number 6. The way to victory is surrender. That doesn't make much sense in my mind. I know I'm just a redneck from Yakin County, but I'm pretty smart. But that really, it's hard for me to understand when I read that. The way to victory is surrender, to be free, to become a servant. Man, you know what? But that's the way God has planned this thing. And the way to victory tonight in your Christian life is through surrender. That word surrender is a word we don't like to hear. That word surrender as a young person, it ain't what we love. You know why? Because even from a young age, we love control. We love to be in control of things. But you know, if there's ever one example in our life that we are to live and try to live about and live to, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's surrender. He's not seeking his own will, but the will of the Father. You know what? Let me use the word Paul used in Romans 6 here. That's yielding. It's yielding. We are all in this church right now. Every single one of us are yielding to something. We have all yielded ourselves. I'm getting to the text, but we have all yielding to something. I want to ask you tonight, what have you yielded to this week? What are you surrendered to right now in your life? Where are you? What are you yielding to? Now, I know where I am. I get it. I know what church I'm at. I know about all of you sitting in here tonight. I know that I'm preaching to a great group of young people, a great, great church folk. But I do know this, that we know how to talk the talk. We know how to walk, you know, where everybody's watching. But I don't really want to hear what you got to say. I want to know what your actions say about who you're yielding to. What does your action say about who, that question I just asked of what are you yielding to? I heard a fellow say this not too long ago. Words tell me what you want to be, but your actions tell me who you are. You know what? A lot of us, we talk a good talk. Now, look at me. I ain't but 27. Less than 10 years ago, I was a teenager. I'm getting old, but I'm not there yet. But it feels like yesterday I was sitting right there, son. It really does. And I know what it's like to be a teenager in a youth group. We know how to do it just right. We know all the cliches to use. But Jesse, we know exactly what to say to make sure mom and dad know we're doing right. But you know in your heart what you've been surrendering to. You know in your heart and your mind what you've been yielding to. And I want you to think about it. What have you been yielding to in your life? That's really what Paul's getting at right here. When you're talking about your words, tell me who you want to be. Your actions, tell me who you are. That's what Paul's getting at right here. Because he's telling the Christians at Rome that regardless of the religious claims that they made, their real master was identified by the commands that they obeyed. If they obeyed the commands of sin, then sin was their master. If they obeyed the commands of righteousness, then God was their master. It's all right there in the text. You know what? Therefore, you kind of come to this conclusion. Whatever you're yielding to, you will become a servant to. That's what he's talking about, whether you become free to become a servant. And you have that choice tonight. Nobody's going to force you to yield yourself to what you're yielding to. Nobody's forcing you to do it. You have that choice. I'll be honest with you, this is not what I want to preach tonight, so blame the Lord, okay? Don't do that. That was a joke. What are you yielding to? You got the choice. When you think about young people, man, probably the most prominent topic preached on with young people is choices, because it's important. It's important what choices you make. You make choices every day. You make choices every day you need to think about. We talk about make smart choices. Make wise choices. Make smart choices with your friends. Make smart choices with, you know what, y'all have all heard that, right? Make smart choices at school. Make smart choices with your family. Do you know what, tonight I want you to think a little bit differently. I want you to think about choices, but not in that plural form. I want you to think about choices in the plural. I want you to think about it in the singular. I want you to think about making a choice. Because really and truly, when it comes to the Christian life, there's really only one decision that has to be made. Now, I'm talking about after you got saved right here. After you get saved, there's one decision that you need to make, and there's only two options with that in those decisions. You got a choice of sin, you got a choice of righteousness. You got to make the decision. There's hundreds of choices you make on a daily basis, but all of those choices stem from that foundational choice of choosing sin or righteousness. All that sin that we do, it all comes back, and it all goes back to the foundational choice that we made in that morning to choose righteousness or sin. So tonight, I want to preach on this thought. It's time to make the choice. It's not time to make a choice. It's time to make the choice as a child of God to choose righteousness over sin. I know that there's some of you. I got a timer right there. I'm not going to preach that long, I promise you. I know that some of you in here have made that choice for righteousness. You're doing good, y'all. But this choice is an everyday thing. There's some of you in here that you're saved, that you know you're saved, but you're straddling the fence on this thing of Christianity. You're sure you've tried it? You went down that road of surrender, but you didn't fully sell out to God. Can I say this real fast before I preach? It's time to sell out. It's time to surrender. It's time to fully sell out to what God wants for your life. It's time to surrender to what God wants. Amen. I want to look at what a life yielded to sin brings versus what a life yielded to righteousness brings. Why choose the righteousness? Why choose righteousness over sin? That's what I'm going to try to show you tonight. I got 2 points. I just gave them to you. That's not good preaching, but I did. Number one, what does a life yielded to sin bring? I'm going to show you right in the text. Verse number 20, you see it brings a filthy life. It said, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you're yielded to sin, you'll be free, but you're going to be free from the wrong thing. You're going to be free from the good stuff. You know what? Living clean will not be a priority if you've yielded to sin in your life. Thank God, because of Calvary, I'm free from the penalty of sin, but just because I'm saved, that don't mean I'm saved and freed from the presence of sin. I'm still surrounded by it. That's what Paul is saying in verse number 15 when he says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He said, God forbid. He was so adamant. He was just so animated. He said, God forbid that you would do that. Why was he so? Because he knew that sin will bring filth and it'll bring a whole lot of damage into your life as a child of God. The Bible still says you're supposed to be holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. What are you yielded to tonight? You say, preacher, is it really that big of a deal? Yes. It's that big of a deal for you to be yielding yourself to the right thing. That is to God. Say, preacher, well, how will I know what I'm yielding to? Well, just be honest with you, I think you already know. I don't think I have to ask this question. You know. But let me just go ahead and appease you. How can you know? How clean is your life? How clean is it? Is it dirty? Now, I'm not talking about physically, okay? Dear God, I hope it's clean physically. Take a bath. Sometimes we don't preach that at youth rallies, but we need to preach that to our teenage boys. Amen. Take a bath, y'all. Now, I don't know why I got off on that. But spiritually, too. I'm talking about spiritually, not physically. Now, man, I'm telling you what. There's liberty in here. I get messed up when I got liberty. I say all kinds of dumb stuff. What was I talking about? Oh, spiritually, are you clean? What type of things do you have in your life? That's how you're going to be able to tell who you're yielding to. Because if you got a life that's filled and a heart that's filled with wrong, then hello, you're yielding to the wrong thing. You're surrendered to the wrong thing. It brings a filthy life. Let me go to number two. It not only brings a filthy life, but it brings a frivolous life. Verse number 21. The Bible, look at his question. He said, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? It's frivolous. You say, what is that? Wasted. Wasteful. What did it produce? What fruit did you have because of that sin? What do you got to say about it now? That's what he's saying. We all know what it is. I can tell you plain and simple what you'll have to say after you live your life yielded to sin. You wasted years, and you've got tons of regret. That's what it is. It's hard to see that as a teenager. Brother Josh, it's hard to see that as a teenager. But I'm telling you, when you live your life yielded to what the devil and the world and the flesh has to offer, in years to come, you'll look back with regret, saying, that preacher was right. The Bible was right. The Lord was right. I shouldn't have done that. It's regret. It's wasted. That's not what the devil will make you think, though. The devil's lie has been and is and always will be this. That if you fully trust God, and if you fully obey God, and you fully submit yourself to the will of God, that you'll be miserable. That has and always will be the devil's lie. That you'll be miserable surrendering yourself to God. He's a liar. You know why a lot of Christians aren't surrendered to God like they need to be? It's because they believe in that old devil. He's a liar. He's the father of them. You better not listen to him. You better block him out. You better get in that word. You better listen to some preaching, some good old-fashioned singing. You better block his voice out because he's a liar. That's what he is. Don't waste your life living in sin. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, if you don't remember the Creator in the days of your youth, there will come a day that you look back at the days of your youth and say, I had no pleasure in them. But if you yield yourself to God, it ain't a frivolous life. I wonder tonight, how many days have we wasted? That's so convicting to me. How many days have I wasted living a life yielded to sin? I've wasted a lot of days. But guess what? I can't go back and relive those days. So I'm not going to spend the day thinking about all those days. I'm going to spend the day doing my best to yield myself to righteousness so that tomorrow I don't have to look back tomorrow night at tomorrow's day and say, man, I've wasted that day. Don't look back at all them wasted days. Look at me. You don't have to live a frivolous life. You don't have to waste them days. It brings a filthy life. It brings a frivolous life. It brings a fatal life. The Bible talks about in verse 21. He said, for the end of those things is death. That's what sin brings. We've all heard it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. We've all heard those cliches. James 1:15, then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Young people, will you listen to me just for a second? Sin will ruin your life. Sin will ruin your life. I remember going to meetings just like this. I remember it like it was yesterday. Makes me sad that it's gone. I'm not a kid anymore. I got bills. Dear Lord, I miss those days. Don't you waste them teenage days because, man, them are good days. You ain't got to pay for nothing. It's expensive to live, LJ. You know what? I remember just like it was yesterday sitting right there. Think about this today. I was studying for tonight. And I can see my youth group like I can just see y'all. I can remember them. I grew up in the best youth group in the world. Y'all don't probably agree with me with that because y'all think y'all's group is the best, but y'all are wrong. My youth group was the best because it was mine, right? I mean, that's what it is. I remember. I can see faces in my mind right now of boys that I grew up with that are no longer in church. They're no longer living right. You know why it is that way, Brother Stan? It's because they've yielded themselves to sin and not to righteousness. And it's a fatal life. Heartbreaking. All I'm saying is this. It's a big deal. You better make the choice to yield yourself to the things of God right now before that fatality comes into your life. Because it will. Because the end of those things is death. That's what it comes. I am what I am tonight, like Paul said, by the grace of God. What does a life yielded to sin bring? It brings a filthy life. It brings a frivolous life. It brings a fatal life. But what does a life yielded to righteousness bring? Preacher, why don't you get off all that sad stuff? Well, I'm going to try. First of all, let me say this. It brings favor. Verse number 14 said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, thank God, but under grace." Amen. You know why I'm standing here tonight? One reason, the grace of God. Paul states in this verse that we ain't under the law. You ought to shout hallelujah for that. That we're under grace, that's favor that we have as the children of God. As a child of God, you're in a good place tonight. You're in a favorable place tonight. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's pretty good right there, because guess what? That means that the sin ain't got no strength on us. We ain't under the law, but under grace, amen? It has just lost its strength. What Paul also said, that sin shall not have dominion over you. That's important. That word dominion means authority. It means control. And as Christians, you won't have to live under the authority of sin. Sin does not have to control your life, is what I'm saying. You can find favor and grace in the sight of the Lord. That you don't have to live under the control of sin. You can be in control. Oh, preacher, I don't know about that. You can. You don't have to yield yourself to that sin and live like in bondage and think that you're under, that sin has control of you. No, you can control that sin by the grace of God. I've heard it all my life. You will either control your sin or your sin will control you. You better find that what I'm talking about right now. Yield yourself to the righteousness of God where it's grace and can find favor with you so you can have dominion over that sin. You don't have to live in that sin. We're all going to fall. We're all going to mess up. But you ain't got to stay that way. You don't have to live that way every day. You don't have to be under just this condemnation and this heavy weight on your shoulder thinking about all the bad that you've done. But there's grace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, there's grace. Thank God for it. I know who I am. I know what I deserve. And had it not been for His grace and His mercy, friend, I'd be in a devil's hell. Hallelujah for His grace. Thank God for His grace. Son, I know who I am. Every day I wake up, you know what I want to do? I want to lean on the side of righteousness so His grace will keep me going. And that favor will keep me going. Son, that's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Son, that's helping me. Thank God for His grace. That's what's going to carry you through. That's why you need to lean on righteousness and not sin. You better yield yourself to the things of God because there's favor. Not only is there favor, but there's freedom. Verse number 22, "But now being made free from sin and become righteousness or become servant to God, you have the fruit unto holiness, the end of everlasting life." When you are yielded to sin, you are free, but you're free from righteousness. And in reality, guess what? That's really more bondage than it is freedom, because you're free to the wrong thing. Our human nature longs for freedom, don't we? We long for it. You know what most people do? They search for it in all the wrong places. I feel like a lot of people are like the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. When he was at home, he decided he wanted his freedom, didn't he? So he left to try to find himself and enjoy himself. His rebellion and that sin only led him deeper into slavery. That's what sin does. People search for sin, search for freedom, and in reality they find more bondage because they're searching in the wrong places. Don't search in what the world has for freedom. Don't search in what the devil has for freedom. God's got all the freedom you could ever want. Son, I'm telling you, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm thankful there's freedom. That prodigal son there, he got led deeper into slavery, in his bondage, because that's what sin does. He was a slave of wicked desires. Then he was a slave to wrong deeds, and finally he became a slave to woeful destruction. He wanted to find himself, but he lost himself. And when he thought what he thought was freedom turned out to be the deepest bondage he'd ever faced. And it was only when he returned to the Father that he experienced freedom. I don't know where you're searching for freedom tonight, but I promise you the only place you'll ever find is with the Father. You better run. You better lean. You better surrender yourself to righteousness, because that's where you're going to find freedom. You know what young people want? They want to be free. I got the answer. It's with God. Oh, well, that's bondage. No, it's freedom like you've never experienced. It brings favor and freedom. But one last thing, and I'm done. It brings fruit. Verse 22, last part of the verse says, "Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." If you serve a master tonight, you can expect to receive wages. Sin pays wages. Verse number 23 said, "The wages of sin is death." But God also pays wages. Holiness, everlasting life. Don't sound like much of a choice to me, does it? Hey, man. In the sin, we produce fruit that makes us ashamed. But in Christ, we produce fruit that glorifies God. Brings joy to our lives. There ain't nothing like living for God, y'all. There ain't nothing like yielding yourself to righteousness. There ain't nothing like surrendering yourself to God. Because when you surrender yourself to the Lord, He brings some fruit in your life like you ain't ever seen before. He'll give you joy, and He'll give you peace, and He'll give you contentment, and He'll give you happiness that you've never experienced before. So you need to stop searching for all the things in this world and just learn that the only thing that matters is that you get a hold of what I'm preaching, that you surrender yourself to God, that you surrender yourself to righteousness, because that's where the fruit comes from. That's where the joy comes from. So I'm living my best life. And I ain't Joel Osteen either, but I tell you what, right now, I am living up, man, because that's what God will do for you. Sure, I got trouble. Sure, I got trials. But His grace has brought me safe as far, and His grace will lead me on. Hallelujah, son. It's good. It's good. It's good to be saved. Hallelujah. There's fruit with this thing, man. There's fruit. There's fruit. You better surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to righteousness. I'll ask you a question. Who are you yielding to? Are you yielding yourself to sin? Or are you yielding yourself to righteousness? I tell you, just be honest with you, it's real easy to know. Every day you live, when that situation comes, what is the tendency? What is that natural tendency? Is it to do something, say something you shouldn't, go something wrong? Or is it to do what God wants you to do? Not one person in this building is perfect. Every single one of us does wrong. And you ain't going to be sinless. But can I use the old cliche that's been around 100 years? You ain't going to be sinless, but you should sin less. And the reason some of us sin more than others is just simply because it's who we're surrendered to. It's who you're yielded to. You have that choice. Salvation, June 22nd, 2013. I got saved. That was a one-time thing. I got saved. I was 17 years old. I'll never lose it. One-time thing. But that surrender is a daily thing. I have to wake up every morning, surrender my life to God, and make sure I'm where I'm needing to be. And guess what? I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Some days I mess up, and I'm not surrendered to the righteousness of God. But my desire is every day I wake up yielding to that side. Yes. What side are you yielding to? Are you yielding to sin? Or are you yielding to righteousness? Preacher's going to come. Let's pray.